It's Monday the 13th of February and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host Paul Hinton and as ever I'm joined by Sean Phillips and a very ill Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
What's up, Paul?
Oh, Aaron's put on his best radio voice. Well done, Aaron. He's climbed off his sick bed to be here, so and a good week he's climbed off it for. Gonna obviously take a look back. First of all, the Devils Challenge Cup semi-final win in Belfast. Before another 4-point weekend in the league, starting in Coventry and finishing with our second shout-out of the season to Nottingham. We'll ask a player of the week to skate forward, have a look at yours and our Rahmite suggestions before discussing the newest devil in Denny Kearney and then previewing the Belfast doubleheader and Nottingham away in the league a week tomorrow. So, no time to spare, plenty to get through, and starting with Wednesday night. Devils flew over to Belfast, hoping to overturn a one-goal deficit. The three of us, and a lot probably along with over 100 Devils fans, packed into the Shooters Bar in Cardiff to watch the game, and you know, it was a great atmosphere, and helped in no small part, Sean, by an absolutely outstanding performance from the Devils from the first minute.
Yeah, we just went out there and bossed the game, and Shooters really was up for it, as you just said. You know, the guys came out and hit everything that moved, and we managed to get one on the board early through Patrick Bordlow after Mark Richardson fires one on net, and Bordlow just gets his stick on it, deflects in, and we're back to square. So that was a good place to start from. We ended up with the lead after basically a filthy goal from Mark Lewis. Well, filthy
well,
doesn't...
Before we get to the filthy goal, we can discuss the filthy hits.
Of course. I forgot about that.
Patrick Bordlow was a menace in the 8.5 minutes he was on the... Well, 12.5 minutes he was on the ice. But sort of ended with... He saw Jonathan Boxhill not paying a lot of attention near the boards, and Bordlow came in. And for me, and on replay, got in low, made contact with the upper body first, and just momentum and physics took over and, you know, went into Boxhill at the head, but initial contact appeared to be in his arm. No call on the night from referee Dean Smith. Adam Keefe, you know, showing he's a, you know, a club man, you dropped the gloves knowing he was going to get a bit of a pasting, which he in turn did. Before the linesman had a bit of a chat with Dean Smith, and Bordlow ended up being thrown for 5+ game check into the head and leaving the Devils with a 5-minute penalty to kill, Aaron.
Yeah, and you know, it was just a pathetic call, really. You know, as you said, Paul, Dean Smith had no intention of calling the hit in the first place. It was, in my opinion, it was a clean hit, and it was just disappointing because at that point I thought, oh, here we go, take this thing out of the game, and that could be it for us, that could be our night over. But you know, that fight gave us a little bit of a boost. Bordlow gave Keith an idea. It was like when you hold your little brother by the head and keep him at arm's reach while giving him a couple of digs. It was just Keith didn't stand a chance really, but you know, like Sean said, Keith, he's an absolute club man, does everything for the club, and If that was anyone on our team, I would have been over the moon that he just stood in front of it and took a beat in.
Yeah, and you know, as we discussed last week, Devils are already missing Andrew Hotham to a two-match suspension. And with a 5-minute penalty to kill with the game all tied, Belfast got a perfect opportunity to get back into the game, Sean. But you know, there was a strong rearguard action from the Devils, but you know, it was a lacklustre performance from the Giants all night, and you know, it never really seemed like getting through in the whole of the 5 minutes they had.
No, but they didn't look like they tried to create it. They didn't try to force us into mistakes. We were watertight and didn't give them any room to play their game, and they struggled to adapt. You didn't see any effort to change the way they were playing. They were just cycling around the perimeter of the zone and didn't get many shots off. Anything they did bounce was equal to or went wide, and we managed to kill that off, and to get back in the tie so early on have Bordalo make that hit and have the fight with Keefe, and then to overturn that 5-minute major penalty was a massive, massive momentum swing for the Devils.
Yeah, gave the Devils all the momentum in the world going into the second period. Well, we thought it was all the momentum until 10 seconds before the end. As Sean started talking about a couple of minutes ago, Mark Lewis...
I was a bit premature. I did get a bit excited about it.
Everyone got a lot excited at the time. It's goal of the season for the Devils. Goal of the season for the league has already been decided. Mark Lewis has won it, but leaves Jim Vandermeer standing, just holding his stick in the air, and then proceeded to go all the way around the net and score just a lovely wraparound goal, tapping it in past the sprawling Jackson whistle, and 10 seconds before the end of the period. Literally, you probably, other than Bordalo being thrown out, you couldn't have written the Devils couldn't have written a better script for how that period could have gone, Aaron.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to say on the goal, it was the pass and the movement by Mark Lewis. It was just absolutely ridiculous. You know, Myers was coming one way, Mark Lewis was coming the other way. It's like something you see in Dream Team hockey, you know, and Myers dumps it off and boom. Probably my favourite goal ever, and I lost my poo a lot. It was just absolutely fantastic. And to go two goals up in the first period, scoring two fantastic goals, momentum was in our favour after that first period. And to be honest, I was fairly comfortable from that point on.
Yeah, as you said, Giants would look flat, but it was just an outstanding 20 minutes of hockey from the Devils. The second period started well, but Dean Smith, not having a great night, called an absolutely shocking penalty on Chris Higgins for illegal equipment, who I think had the temerity to take a breath after his helmet came off before skating back to the bench. And the Devils didn't capitalise on that, but 11 minutes in, Mark Lewis decided that one wonder goal for the night wasn't quite enough and took the puck from his own half right the way up to the crease and just jammed the puck underneath Jackson Whistle and sent everyone wild in shooter's bar, Sean.
Yeah, and like you said, just is all his own work. Just enters the zone, throws one on net. Jackson Whistle doesn't really know where the puck is. Lewis does not give up on the play and keeps jabbing at it, and it goes through. And I think it was mentioned somewhere this week that we've got to keep Mark Lewis's mum in town or in the country, because that guy is playing absolutely out of his skin while she is in the country. So someone just buy her a house here and keep him here as well.
It's cheaper just to steal a passport.
Oh well, I won't say anything if you don't, Paul.
Unfortunately, she flies home tomorrow, so hopefully, it will have rubbed off on Mark, and perhaps we can just pretend that she's still here. Whatever she's been baking, just bake some more of it. 3 minutes after Mark Lewis's goal, we had a something of a rarity. First time this season, Chris Jones got a goal. An excellent finish from him on the edge of the crease, just a chance after Joey Haddad shot and just buried it past Whistle. The goal that pretty much just put the game to bed then. But nice to see CJ finally on the score sheet, Sean.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, it was a perfect finish. Watching the game on the big screen there, I thought that the angle of it looked as if it had sort of flashed against the post and hadn't quite made it through. But you saw that sally and you just knew that Chris Jones had got his first goal of the year and pulled a great sally to boot to go with it. It seems like he's been practicing it, and finally he got a chance to use it.
Well, there has been plenty of time to practice it, so when you get your chance to shine, you've got to take it.
Absolutely, yeah. But a beautiful finish, like you said, and pretty much put the tie to bed. Though I think that the remaining couple of minutes in the period after that, we seem to slack off a little bit and maybe let Belfast come back into the game a bit. Did you feel that way, Paul?
Yeah, so it was reminding me of the way we discussed we were playing in Sheffield a lot last year, where it was, we obviously didn't want to commit men forward, but there was just too much focus on sitting back and containing. And it just felt like whenever we got the puck out of the zone, there was no one out of the zone looking to take it forward. It was just clear the zone, get it out, get a line change, and sit back again, let the Giants come on. And when you got players like Chris Higgins in the team, eventually you'll be punished. And you did that a couple of minutes later, just over 3.5 minutes before the end of the period. And, you know, sort of felt that even after that, Devils didn't adjust the way they were playing. Maybe there was an element of trying to save some energy for a big league weekend coming up. But the third period, Aaron, we sort of seemed to realise that that was an issue and stepped it back up and did enough to keep the Giants out and, you know, stopped inviting the pressure on ourselves.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, Paul. You know, with a big weekend coming up, I don't think we sat back, but I think knowing that we was two bodies down, we conserved a little bit of energy. It collapsed brilliantly in front of the net, and, you know, it was unlucky for Bowers not to get shut out because he played fantastic, but it was just an all-around brilliant performance. And if I was there, Christ almighty, I probably would have lost more poo, and it would have just been one of the best games of the weekend, of the season.
It was a great game, and it wasn't quite done. David Bryan sitting 2 minutes for interference halfway through the third, and, you know, another great kill from the Devils. And as Bryan comes out of the box, he gets the puck, goes up the ice, and fires low, not too hard, at the pads of Jackson Whistle. And, you know, Stephen Murphy by that time, sorry. And, you know, Murphy didn't have a lot of choice other than just to give up a rebound. And, you know, Joey Martin, who killed the full 2 minutes of the penalty, somehow found the legs to get all the way up the ice in support of Bryan and buried the rebound. And it didn't finish the game. I think by that stage, the game was done. That penalty was probably Giants' last chance in. But it was nice just to put a bit of icing on the cake, Sean.
Yeah, definitely. And just hockey 101 there from David Bryan. You know, you've just killed the penalty. You've still got your penalty kill unit out there. Bryan could go for the glory and get the goal. But if he misses, the puck rings are on the boards. You've got a tired kill unit out there. And you do risk that chance. So you do take that risk of Belfast maybe catching you on the break and getting that goal to get him back in the game. So just to get the shot nice and low, get the rebound, and Joey Martin just works his absolute bag off to get up the ice and aid David Bryan and just rub a little bit of salt in the wound.
Yeah, and from there on, it was quite a comfortable way to see out the game for the Devils.
Just looking at the shot totals in that one, Belfast actually outshot us 40-26, so Ben Bowers had 39 saves in that game. Devils went 0-2 on the power play. Giants went 0-5 on the power play.
Including the 5 minute as well.
Yeah, including the 5 minute. Not much else to say on it other than...
Just mention David Bryan as well, picking up 3 assists on the game with, you know, the one goal off his after his penalty kill, but, you know, two goals for the fourth line. Something unheard of, and nice to see a bit of depth scoring going through the team as well.
Yeah, and just the final note on that game is that, boys, we're on our third Challenge Cup final in a row.
It's becoming a bit of a habit, a nice habit to have as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So and obviously with 2-for-1 instead of 1-for-2.
It'd be nice. It would be nice to, especially with the final obviously in Cardiff, it's nice to make sure that, you know, we're there for the first one-off final being held in Cardiff, I think, but definitely nice Arena Wales.
What was your initial thought before the game started, Paul? Were you filled with much confidence, or did you think that Belfast maybe had a little bit too much for us, or that going over there with a deficit maybe saw them obviously the favourite to go through, but did you quite see that result come in?
I didn't see that result come in at all. I don't think I'd ever predict a win of that magnitude against Belfast. But I was quite quietly confident, actually, on my way into town. I'm not someone who's usually confident, but just felt that... I think I felt better with us being a one-goal deficit than if we had a one-goal lead, because I think I'd be worried we'd try and start defending it from the start, just defend that one goal. But, you know, having to go out there and know that we needed to turn the game around, I think...
Yeah.
Just gave us that impetus to really do something, and obviously we did it, you know, from the get-go, as we discussed.
Yeah, I think when I saw the result of the first leg, that was my initial thought, was that but you know, we're going over there with a deficit, and Belfast is a tough place to go, and that basically see us, you know, we were done basically. And as you mentioned, you look at that, you start thinking more and more about it, and you look at the type of player we have, like, you know, guys like Joey Adad, Joey Martin, Andrew Lord. Those guys play well when the pressure's on, and when they have to bring their A game. And I was the same. I think as I made my way into town, it was sort of lingering that we had it in our arsenal we knew we had to go out there and basically take the game by the scruff of the neck. And I just quietly had that feeling that we would. But I'd never imagined that we'd take a win of that magnitude over in the SSE.
Not at all. So that was everything with the game. The one thing that did come out of it, Patrick Bordelot's check to the head game penalty was obviously automatically reviewed, and DOPS decided it warranted a one-match ban. I think in part due to being a repeat offender for the joke of a call in the Brayhead game earlier in the season. So, and it's worth noting that you got a repeat offender for that, and Joey Martin's check to the head against Coventry that didn't even happen, never got downgraded, and just, you know, could that come back at some stage in the year and cause an absolute storm in Cardiff? But it did
you missed a bit of that word, but I don't think I'll put it in myself for PG reasons.
Yeah, I think Manchester. I meant to say a bit of a Manchester storm in Cardiff. that wasn't an insult to Manchester, just in case you got anyone listening, because I'm trying not to alienate any more fans of the Gardner Conference. We've done enough of that, and we like Manchester. But it did mean that the Devils travelled to Coventry on Saturday night, missing both Patrick Bordelot and Andrew Hotham, obviously having to play two imports short. And I think you look at the league table, Devils even missing two imports should have had enough to see off Coventry with them in eighth. But Coventry never even looked like they were in the game, Sean. It was, for the first time in a long time, you can say that the Devils had a comfortable night.
Yeah, we did. And as ever, you don't go into any game with no worries. You know, these are the sort of banana skin games where it can just go horribly, horribly wrong. But it didn't. And we took advantage from the get-go. Gleeson Fournier scored 5 minutes and 37s in. Basically, the net was gaping. We'd had a good spell in the zone with, we probably should have scored before Gleeson Fournier managed to scrape one in. But ultimately, he gets that goal, 5:37 in, and Lionel Mahar follows it up with a power play goal. Just great hands around the net on the power play. Joey Martin and Gleeson Fournier getting assists on it. And the Devils were just rampant in that game. I was amazed at how bored I was and how confident I was after that second goal, because Coventry didn't look like they wanted to get involved in the game at all.
Not in the slightest. And just some strange decisions. Obviously, you know, they're still missing Kevin Noble, a guy who logs crazy minutes for them. As much as you dislike him, he's the type of guy that, you know, tries to get his team going. But given that we were missing Patrick Bordelot and Andrew Hotham, who's a bit of a, you know, a tough guy in defence, it just crazy to me that Garrett Klotz hardly got a shift, especially in the first period. I can't remember seeing him on the ice in that first period. And you think, send him out there to try and create a little bit of havoc. There's a few tough guys. You know, Devils are not a weak team missing those two, but if you could drag someone else to another import to the bin, that's three imports missing for the Devils, and you know, Klotz is hardly going to be a big loss for them. But as you said, Sean, they just didn't seem up for it at all.
No, and it was a shame, because we've gone into Coventry, and the last few years it's been, you know, we have had some great games there, and Coventry has sometimes have given us a little bit of a scare, but they just didn't look into it. I sort of had a bit of a worry that we'd only gone two up, and it's not a, you know, it's an easy deficit to overturn, but the way that Coventry were playing, it just, I had no worries in that respect, because they just weren't there, basically. And it was shocking to see them, because you see the releases that they've got, these record attendances, or sorry, record consecutive attendances, and you just think, why? Because it's dire to watch.
Yeah, there's
even
just...
Even as a winning team, it's awful to watch us play Coventry.
Yeah, that the second period was probably the most bored I've been in a game of hockey for a long time, which at this stage of the season and where we are is fantastic. I'm more than happy with that. If it keeps happening, you know, Andrew Lord sort of lightened the mood towards the end of it with a goal 23 seconds from the end of the period on the power play. But, you know, it was, you look at the shot, it was pretty even, 12-11 to the Devils. But again, Coventry offered very little. The Devils were in full on energy conservation mode. And so the goal just before the end of the second, third period starts, 27 seconds in. Joey Haddad gets a goal and Devils go 4-0 up and we pull Ben Bounds. And interestingly, I think it's the first time under Lord that we've pulled a goalie on a shutout, Sean.
Yeah, I think it was massive. And genuinely, I don't see why we have it. This is the first time that we've done it, because we've got a big game the following night. Bouncy's played well and you don't really want to break his shutout, so to speak. But what happens if something goes drastically wrong and Bounds gets injured? That's your season over. The game is comfortable. You basically won. You've got a competent netminder in Tom. A competent backup netminder in Tom Moody. So why not utilize him? Give him some ice time. It was a good decision by Andrew Lord. Definitely.
Yeah, 100% agree. And Aaron, would that be your approach, or would you rather see us looking to help Ben Bounds' stats?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, Ben Bounds done an interview a couple of weeks ago. He said he keeps an eye on his stats and stuff, but as long as there's a W on the board, he doesn't really care.
Definitely, your perfect attitude from Ben Bounds, and saying things like that would obviously give Lord confidence that pulling him isn't going to, cause any issues in the dressing room. And as Sean said, good to see Tom Moody get a good 20 minutes under his belt. And, a hell of a 10-20 minutes for him, given that we gave up 17 shots in that period. So definitely made him work for that during that period. But not poor Sean Bentivoglio. We didn't seal the game. The game was sealed at 4-0, but put a fifth goal in on the two-minute mark in the third period to make it 5-0. And that's really where the Devils just totally took their foot off the gas and started coasting in. Barry Almeida scored an absolute wonder goal, Sean, 2 minutes later. But it was already too little too late, but at least gave the Coventry fans something to cheer.
Yeah, and like Aaron said, the stats are basically nothing in that game. We were coasting. Coventry started to come back into it, but was it ever a worry? No, even at 5-3, 2 minutes to go, you maybe thought, not the best, but we basically. We played a 43-minute game.
Yeah, did more than enough in those minutes.
Did more than enough in 43, and you felt that if for whatever reason, if Coventry managed to get one more and pull it to a one-goal game with a minute and 45 left or whatever, those guys would, you'd have your guys, you'd have your Joey Martin out there, et cetera, and we just had those gears to go to, but I feel like we barely touched second gear in that game.
Barely, I totally agree. But Coventry did get it back to 5-3 with just over 2 minutes left, with a couple of goals with Rennie Maher at that time. We'd for the second game in a row, we'd seen off the starting netminder. Made it 5-3. I was thinking if they get another one, do you pull Moody, put Bounds back in net? What does that do to his confidence and? All those things, but it was made not to matter when Joey Martin scored the sixth and decisive goal to make a 6-3 into the empty net.
And Thomas
Moody getting the assist. So that's other than Callum Bugles, who only played a handful of games, following CJ's goal on Wednesday and Moody's assist. That's every player for the Devils this season with at least a point on the board. So nice to round it off at that point. I always love a goalie assist as well. It's nice to see. There's really not that much more to say about the game. Very few flashpoints, very few talking points other than the goals, just because of how flat it was from Coventry.
I just want to pull one point up, and that's the downfall of Brian Stewart in the last year. Just shocking when you think that after his first season, anyone would have given their left arm to have a netminder like Brian Stewart. And he was just awful in that game, wasn't he?
Yeah, very, very little offered to help him. Only 29 shots for the 5 goals. You know, that's really poor record.
Yeah, we talked so many times about Coventry and how Brian Stewart gives him a chance to win games, but it maybe looks like he doesn't want to be the only one giving them a chance to win games anymore, and that he looks like, to be honest, he doesn't look like he wants to be there.
I do think this season, as last season, must have been difficult for him. It was not a good team. You know, they came good at the playoffs yet again. Almost did it again. But it's just, you know, year on, you know, second year in a row where the team in front of him have offered him next to no support defensively. You know, he's missing his rocking Kevin Noble there. But his head seems to drop. He's always had a bit of a head issue. You know, teams could get in his head eventually. But it as you said, it's such a change. He doesn't seem to have, just doesn't seem to have that desire in him to fire.
The will to win.
Yeah. If his team's not performing in front of him, he just doesn't want to put him on his back anymore and drag them all along with him. Season and a half that he's had, I can't say I massively blame him, but he's got to be one of the biggest earners in Coventry, and you know, for next year you've surely got to be looking at getting someone with a bit of a better temperament, maybe not that stellar level, but someone, you know, will be there every night. But there's a lot more work than the netminder needing to do to that Coventry team next season.
Oh, without a doubt. But you look at the way that Coventry have played against us this year, and initially in the year, I felt like they had a bit of tenacity, a bit of nastiness to them. But do you think it starts from the top, or is this where you think that Coventry need to actually start to build and put a bit of faith in Danny Stewart?
I don't know. I don't understand how a team coached by a guy like Danny Stewart, who is the most horrific player to play against, or one of the worst players, you know, hated him. Whatever team you put on, absolutely despised him. Horrible, gritty player. How can he coach a team that can be so lackluster?
Yeah, I completely agree. Because the coach, obviously, as the architect of that team, they should play the way that he played. And if they're not, then they shouldn't be there. And that's where they brought that bit of tenacity from earlier in the year. But where's it gone? And you look at the problems that Coventry have had over the last couple of years, and they've had coach change after coach change after coach change. And you sort of feel like this is where now they need to put a bit of faith in a guy and actually build something there and make him something to be competitive.
You have got to put the faith in, but before you do that, it's got to be the right guy. And, you know, I don't know if is he the guy. I think Mark Lefebvre struggled there, but you see the job he's done in Dundee. All right, they've not had great heights, but they're doing well. Is Danny Stewart doing any better than any of the coaches that have gone before him? And he's not. You're right. You have got to stop somewhere, but I don't know if it should land on when it's as possibly as bad as it's been. And it's stuff you see online a lot, that maybe it's all a little bit friendly in Coventry, that, you know, all the coaches, other than Chuck Webber, who came in sort of midway through the season and did a great job of turning it round and winning the playoffs. Other than him, everyone's always been a former player who probably gets on with the management, who's probably, you know, who's played alongside James Pease, the GM, you know, probably good friends with the owner, you know, in with the club. He's probably played alongside guys like Russ Cowley, Ashley Tate, you know, maybe even, you know, a couple of the other younger Brits. And for me, if they're going to put faith in someone, I would be looking just right outside the organisation and, you know, bring in some fresh blood and just go from there. But yeah, they've got to do it. I like beating Coventry. I don't like being bored when we beat Coventry. In the time that we've all watched hockey, the Elite League era, it's always been a massive rivalry, and you don't want to see that go just because they end up being that poor. I want to beat them every game, but I want it to be close when we beat them.
Yeah, it's like kicking a wounded dog at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fun for a while, but isn't it? Well, that's probably not the...
not quite the way I was thinking you were going to put it, but yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah, not the kicking the wounded dog bit, but it was fun for a while beating them easily, but yeah, as you said,
I think we need to add a disclaimer in this that no dogs were harmed in the recording of this podcast.
We've not kicked any dogs. Definitely not kicked any dogs. So before we threaten harm to any other animals, we're going to move on to Sunday night. And Nottingham came into Cardiff. And for a team that had our number for so long this season, something's changed. And I don't know what's changed, but I hope it stays like it for the... I think only one more game we got left against them, but...
Possibly two.
Is it two?
Possibly two.
I can't think if we've got them at home or not, but never mind.
We may have them in the cup final.
Oh, possibly two. I see what you mean by possibly two now. That's interesting. So they came into Cardiff and we got our second shot of the season, and it was against them again, and built Aaron on an outstanding first period of hockey from the Devils.
Yeah, we went from being that third period team of just scoring goals in the third period and turning up in the third period to actually trying to play 60 minutes. And, you know, that Belfast game, we did it. Coventry, we took our foot off the gas, but we knew we could do it. And this Nottingham game, I don't think Nottingham had a chance to come into that game. And we just dominated in every aspect of the game. I do think that they sat off us a little bit just because they've got their second leg on Tuesday, well, tomorrow. But that's no excuse to give league points, is it?
No, you can understand where their priorities lay. I think that's probably what led to the decision of Jindrik Pakel starting in net instead of Mika Wiekman. But like you said, they definitely weren't at the races, but the Devils really didn't let him in. The opening 12 minutes put us 3-0 up. Starting with the outstanding Joey Haddad. The guy is having the season of his life at the moment. But the Devils had plenty of possession in the first 5 minutes, and you felt like before Joey Haddad scored, Sean, that the Devils just were passing the puck around the zone for fun, and eventually it just found its way into the net.
Yeah, eventually. It just looked inevitable that we were going to score early on, because like you said, we were passing the puck around for fun. It was just a case of finding an opening and putting it in, and Joey Haddad has stood right in front of the net and just buries it, and we just kept it rolling, basically.
Yeah, kept it rolling, and first penalty of the night, Stephen Schultz takes, and less than a minute later, Lane Olmer, who is just on a run of form that we were crying out for ages, and he's there now and got yet another goal. It was his second night as well. Aaron has been telling us for weeks he'll come good if he split up from Bentivoglio, and it's hard to argue with the hockey brain that is Aaron Wren.
Why am I a coach yet? I don't know.
They are words that I never thought I'd say.
hashtag Aaron was right.
Yes, yeah, the ones.
Yeah, that trended.
Wren's ramblings had to come good eventually, but another solid power play from the Devil, Sean, and just rewards for Lane Olmer, who's just getting himself in the right place consistently at the moment.
He is, yeah, and off a great feed from Andrew Hotham as well. Good to see him make an immediate impact straight back after his suspension. There's not much more to say really about the entire game other than Mark Richardson has another marker after some hard work from Matthew Myers behind the net. And just throws one on net right from the red line, and Pakel should stop it every day of the week. But he can't, and we're up 3-0, and it's basically game over. Basically game over to a sellout crowd, and I can't really think of much more excitement in the game that went on. And
you're right.
Just to point out that the referee Tom Darnell and the previous night in Jan Schmeck are both called wonderful games, both called brilliant games.
They did. I did think it'll never be cited because we're not playing them again soon, but I did think there was a slew foot from a Panther in the first period, which was missed. But I think, depending on where the referee is, I'd imagine slew foot is one of the hardest penalties to see, especially if you're behind the run, the play. You probably wouldn't even be able to tell something had happened, but did seem a bit of a dirty play. I didn't catch who did it, but I would be very surprised if we cited that. As you said, I think the second period, the Devils sat back a little bit more. Panthers outshot us almost 2-1, and a couple of power play chances killed. The third just picked it up very slightly just to hold on to that 3-goal lead. And so, if not comfortably, because Ben Bounds made some outstanding saves during that game. And worth noting that Ben Bounds didn't concede a goal at all on the weekend. Obviously being pulled while Coventry was still at zero on Saturday. One last thing. We were 1-for-3 on the power play, and Panthers were 0-for-3 on their power plays. Meaning that over the week, the Devils had 10 penalty kills and killed them all successfully, including a 1-5 minute in Belfast. So, you know, excellent special team performance from the Devils. Over the course of this week, and you know, really solid weekend. You know, down a couple of imports for the two games before Nottingham as well. Really not that much more to say, Sean.
No, not at all. But interesting to see that Nottingham outshot us in that overall in the game. Like you mentioned, they outshot us 2-1. And I think it was important that we did pick it up a little bit in the third, even if the result was pretty much solidified. It was good to sort of keep the momentum going and not feel too relaxed, because obviously it's not over yet, and we want to keep that intensity up.
Yeah, kept the intensity up, but I think just enough so that you're not totally overexerting the team. So yeah. A well managed game through that second and third period, I think.
I think that means that Jake Morissette is 100% as a assistant coach. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Andrew Lord's gone. Let's get rid of Lord. You can go back to playing. Morissette's the coach. Everyone's happy. Todd Cameron said he prefers Andrew Lord playing. I think everyone should be happy in that situation. Yeah. Other than Jake Morissette, possibly, and Andrew Lord. Never mind. We'll choose a player of the week. He didn't play, so you can't have Jake Morissette. But there's plenty to choose from. And Sean, who's going to get your vote?
I'm going to go with Mark Lewis, purely because of the wonder goal in Belfast. I thought he's been solid this week. And you look at the results that we've got, and he had a massive part to play in that victory in Belfast. So yeah, I'm going to go with Mark Lewis.
Fantastic. There are so many.
Yes, yeah, I got lost. I got lost looking through the names, and I thought this could be anyone. But for the wonder goal, I just went with Lewis.
So you went for the lowest numbered player who was top of the list you were looking at then?
Yeah, basically.
Aaron, who gets your vote?
Same as Sean. How can you not pick him after scoring 2 goals like that in such a big game? Absolutely superb goals. He played well all weekend. You know, what else can you say about him? He's won it God knows how many times. He's becoming to be my best friend. No, I'm joking. But yeah, he had a class 3 games, so why not pick him? Yeah, I'll go Mark Lewis too, just for the goal.
That is a good shout. My vote, which I think is being missed on it, any other weekend with a worse team performance, player of the week by an absolute mile would be Ben Bounds. And that's who gets my vote. The forwards played so well, and we scored so well throughout the 3 games that some of the great saves he made were completely went unnoticed. But he had, as you said, he didn't get scored on Saturday or Sunday, only let one in on Wednesday, had 89 saves, across the 3 games, which I think gives him a 99% save percentage over 3 games, which is outstanding. And, you know, as I said, he probably didn't have to play that well because the rest of the team was so good. But I think, him not getting a vote after that sort of performance would be criminal. So my vote's Ben Bounds, but congratulations to the very well deserving Mark Lewis, who yet again takes our player of the week. And if there was an award for the most through the season, I'm pretty sure he'd be running away with it. But we're nowhere near organised enough to be able to tell you that for a fact. And speaking of being organised, let's hope that Sean has got some Rahmites for us.
I do. I have a couple of Rahmites. Obviously, we're gone quite early this week, so we haven't had a massive influx of Rahmites, but we did have one from Tony Dickin, who said, loved the way that Everi stepped up this weekend. Thought Scott Hotham was outstanding against Nottingham last night. And we had Derek Farr, who said, "Lately we are looking calm, cool, and a collective unit. Playing as a team, the lads have given us all the feel-good factor, and we have officially qualified for the playoffs."
We have. Woo. I wasn't too worried about that, but...
Oh, I don't know. I was starting to doubt it. But yeah, that was the Rahmite from the two people who managed it. Thank you for getting in touch. Sorry that we couldn't leave more time for everyone else to send theirs in, but I think we've got a few of our own, haven't we? Aaron, what's your Rahmite?
I'll go for, well, Bounces, save against Nottingham. We wheel kicked there and kept us in the game from there. And like Paul said, he had a fantastic weekend. And I think the saves he made against Nottingham was some of them without this world, you know. And each play class, so that's my Rahmite.
Well, I'm going to throw a hate in it. It's not a weekend or a week where there's much to hate. But mine is towards referees, linesmen and dops who seem intent on driving hard fair hitting out of hockey at the moment. Like repeated bans for players, not just kind of Devils players. Dobran had one in Edinburgh. There's been a couple of others I've seen. For players where the initial contact is to the body and they're not reckless and they're just judging the outcome. And your big hits is a massive part of hockey. And you see it right across hockey in Europe and America. Let's keep the hits in. The dops just need to sort out their interpretation of the rules because something's not right the way it's being done at the moment. But there's plenty to love. Loads, like Bam's performance, Mark Lewis's goal though would be my highlight. Yeah. No, my love would be watching the hockey in a bar with that many people. It was like, you wouldn't have thought it was a minority sport, the number of people that were in there. It was a really good night.
Yeah, sure. And you're right. Oh. And Shooters did a great job of making sure that it was, you sort of get those events where they'll put it on the main screen, but it'll still be full of football fans. I think Leicester were playing in the FA Cup and people would use that as an excuse, but literally almost every TV in there had the hockey on. And it was good to see such a good turnout. And hopefully it sets a precedent for more games like that, odd games in Scotland where unfortunately travel can't run due to low demand. And hopefully that's something which the Devils can build on and it's the start of a good partnership between the two. I'm trying to think of my... Did I have a hate over the weekend? I hate how bad Coventry are. We'll just say it one more time. I just hate how easy it's been and... I wish they would give us a game now and again. I say that when we play them in a week, in 2 weeks' time. Yeah,
next season.
Next season, of course, yeah. But my love was that we had a couple of favours in the fact that Sheffield dropped points to Nottingham and that Belfast dropped points to Fife after almost giving us all a heart attack at Ayrshire and Wales. So thank you, Fife. We love you.
That was very nice, you know. I think before the weekend, probably looked at the Panthers-Steelers game and thought, whoa, chance for a drop point or two from Sheffield. But, you know, I wasn't banking on anything from Belfast in Fife. So thank you to Fife. Obviously, Fife went 4-1 up and we all got quite excited. And then Belfast went 5-4 up and I just stopped looking at the scores thinking, that's that done and dusted and shows what I know. Because Fife scored 5 consecutive goals in the third period to... not just win the game, but won 9-5 in the end, which is a crazy scoreline. You don't see that, especially against a team at the level that Belfast are.
They must have had a howler to have let 5 in against us and then to do that in Fife. That's an absolute nightmare performance for the Netminders.
I think it was Jackson Whistle again who's...
Really?
Yeah, who obviously let the majority of the goals in, all bar one of the goals against us. I am just trying to have a look now just to talk about it. Yeah, Jackson Whistle, he didn't get pulled. I think the goals started coming so late from Fife there. Yeah, they scored, it's 14 minutes, they scored 5 goals in the third period. But Jackson Whistle had 34 shots and 26 saves in that game. So he faced a fair bit of puck, but you know, that's not going to be a good percentage. And I would imagine, based on that and his performance on Wednesday, I think we can probably look at Stephen Murphy having the start at the very least on our game on Friday. which we will come on to in just a moment. But there was another bit of Devils news this week that we obviously want to discuss before we get to the coming games. It was on the way back from Coventry.
It was actually in Coventry. You were otherwise occupied, Paul. So
I was watching the most thrilling game of ice hockey I've seen all season.
Well, it was before doors opened, I think, but you were still otherwise engaged.
Yes, I was having
the bar with the bar.
And a pint and drinking them.
To be fair, I was actually trying to hand out tickets for everyone on the bus, but you know, let's not let facts get in the way of accusing me of being a borderline alcoholic. Which is also a fact, so let's not worry about that.
Let's not let facts get in the way of another fact.
yes. Let's not get away facts that make me look good getting away facts that make me look like an idiot. But Denny Kearney is announced as signing for the Devils, coming from Bolzano in the, is it the EBEL or EBEL? I never quite know well.
Yeah, the EBEL, yeah.
I didn't want to just EBEL it, but
I think it's like Österbanka Ice Hockey League.
Yeah, something like that.
Which is a decent level league, and you know, he's done quite well there this year with 37 points in 50 games. But from the press release, he seems to be a bit of an agitator, and possibly the type of guy that just to get, as games now get a little bit important towards the end, Sean, could be quite good in drawing penalties from opposition.
Yeah, and he's a big guy. You know, the guy's 6'1", 194 pounds, can play on either wing. And yeah, I think he looks a solid addition. He's got a little bit of experience at AHL level, 5 points in six games. East Coast, 16-33. And you look at the past 4 years, and his plus minus is very, very good. In the French tier, in 13-14, was plus 26. In Norway, plus 22. In the Swedish Allsvenskan, went plus 13. And this season was running at plus 15 in Bolzano. So I think he's going to be a real asset to us. And I think Andrew Lord mentioned that we looked at him a couple of off seasons ago, and unfortunately weren't able to get him to come over. But yeah, you look at his resume, and he's got good stats at college level, and I'm really, really looking forward to seeing him. And if there's anything I feel like we have lacked this year, it is that agitator role. And I feel like he seems the sort of player which will maybe be very similar to what Andrew Lord does. And when Lord isn't playing, or if Lord is on the bench, still give us that dynamic that he brings. So I'm really excited to see what he does bring, to be quite honest with you. So it's interesting that he's our first American in a long time.
Since that season, I believe, first American that we've had.
Yeah.
A couple in the last year under the previous owners. You mentioned his plus minus, Sean, but you look back a couple of years in France and Norway, you went over a point a half a game. Mm. And in France, practically 2 points a game. So he's definitely someone who can put the points up, as well as, you know, must be pretty solid with his plus minus. Aaron, are you at all worried that a new signing could disrupt what is currently probably the most settled the team has looked, or are you excited to have that new dynamic in the team when needed?
I think it is typical that we find really good form as soon as we sign a good player, so it depends how he fits in. But, you know, the guy, he's won two trophies, one at college level, one in the French league. He's never been a minus in his plus minuses throughout his career. He scores points pretty much for fun. And he looks like an exciting player, you know. I can't see him laying off. He's going to be a physical player. He's going to get under people's skin. He's going to put some points up for us, hopefully. And, you know, he could be the player that we've been missing all year, and we could run away with it. But we won't know until he arrives, which will hopefully be for the weekend.
Yeah, during early part of this week. And the press release said expected to play first against Coventry the following weekend, but you'd be very surprised if he obviously wouldn't. You'd be almost, I don't think he'd start his first game in Belfast. And I suppose the thinking may be that you'll get him settled, but, you know, hopefully he'll be over in Belfast in case of any injuries.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if any changes are needed. So I think it'd be quite surprising if he's not there, at least.
I feel like that release was put out as a, you know, we've had problems with visas and all that sort of thing before. So just as a a bit of a
under promise.
It's a bit of a safety net, yeah, so to speak. And I think that's probably an accurate prediction, Paul, is that he will travel to Belfast, and if we pick up a knock, then he will be there available to dress and give us another body if we need it.
Yeah, but you know, good to have him. You know, if he is in Tuesday as planned, that you'll have a couple of sessions on the ice.
Yeah.
With the team prior to Belfast, you know, even if he doesn't get a game, it'll give him a good weeks and a half worth of training and a chance to watch the team play whilst over there, hopefully.
And it's not like we've got to wait for him to get match fit either, like we did with I believe Ryan Russell came into us without a team last year. So we had to wait a bit of time for him to get match fit. Obviously, you had Gleeson Fournier come in, who came from the East Coast, but Denny's been playing regular hockey, so he's match fit and maybe just a little transition period for the league, but he's a big body and it should help him bedding quite easily.
And it seems to me that he wants to play hockey too, because the EBEL is coming towards the end of the season, so you know, he might have terminated his contract, hoping to play for an extra couple of weeks, which is, you know, if you get a guy who wants to play hockey, it's always a bonus whether he's outstanding or average, and hopefully he's outstanding, so...
Yeah, it's also good to get, I find to get a guy mid-season is possibly someone who's looking to come here next year. So he's going to have something to prove, because he's going to want to earn himself a contract next year.
From his point of view, he knows that Lord was in touch a couple of years ago. So there must be interest there. So if he goes out and puts on a show for the last couple of months, you know, that, you know, he should be you know, in a good position to pick himself up a contract for next year.
Yeah.
And you know, all of that could only bode well for the Devils. So, another positive bit of news from the Devils. It's just positive after positives at the moment. So we will preview ahead, and hopefully we'll still be positive as we're talking, and much more so when we come to review it next week. But the trip that people look forward to a lot, and the numbers going over to Belfast this year, I think may be a record for the Devils, because I think there's well over 200 tickets have been sold to Devils fans already. I know there's at least one sponsor block being taken up by Devils sponsors as well. So, yeah, we're probably looking at 250 Devils fans in Belfast, and you know, the three of us heading over, but sure to be a wild weekend, Sean, as you know, someone who's done a few yourself already.
Yeah, only I think this year... it has so much more riding on. The last couple of years we've needed, obviously we want to go over there and win games, but I think we had it October. Was it October last year?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it was already out of the way before, you know, we had to even worry about what was going on with the season. You know, we were still bedding in, finding our feet, that sort of thing. But this is crunch time. This is where we need to get on a good run, which we have been, and be at our best to go the stretch and be successful. And this is where we have to go to do it, against our nearest rivals, I feel. And it's probably going to be our most stressful, or certainly my most stressful Belfast trip ever. And I am both excited for it, but I am also very, very nervous, because admittedly, you look at the league table, if we lose both those games in regulation, we still have a game in hand to go 1 point ahead, should we need it. And if we win it, which we play that game on Tuesday against Nottingham. But I want to win both of them. I want to get way ahead of the game. And I think we have the team to do it. You look at the performance that we put in against Belfast in the Cup game. They're going to be looking for a reaction for sure. They know that they need to get something from these games. Ideally, they need to win those 4 points. And... Pardon the Belfast related pun, but this doubleheader weekend is absolutely titanic.
I thought you were going to be really, really lame and just go with it, just calling it giant, but at least you put a bit of effort in with titanic. So
you're welcome.
Well done. Like you said, I think there's a good point there, that there is probably more pressure on the Giants in this weekend than the Devils, just the state of the table. You know, 4 points to the Devils and a win on Tuesday against Nottingham would give the Devils a 7-point lead over the Giants, assuming that went in regulation, which at this stage of the season would be huge. But Aaron, your first Belfast weekend, and you know, you couldn't have chose a bigger one to go over for.
Yeah, you know, my first time over there, I'm going to try some Guinness, I'm going to eat some steak. I'm going to watch a lot of, well, two games of fantastic hockey, and if one of you put your hands out in front of me now and said, you can split the weekend, Christ, I'd eat up to your arm. So I'm just hoping we can take at least two in regulation, or even if we take two in overtime, that'll benefit me and the Devils greatly. But like Sean said, two wins, you know, and a win on Tuesday puts us, well, I wouldn't say out of reach, because, you know, it's a long, long way to go, but it's going to be hard for teams to catch us up. And I think the fact that Belfast dropped points to Fife on Sunday, they're going to be looking for retribution. You know, they leaked 9 goals and 5 goals against us, so they're going to try and keep it tight at the back. But, you know, we got Mark Lewis on the ice, so what else do we need? He can do it all on his own, can't he?
Tell Mark Lewis to do it again. But it's a good point from Aaron, Sean, that it's a team that are definitely going to want to bounce back, and it's going to be really important for the Devils to start Friday night hard and fast, and you've not given them a chance to get a foothold in the game.
Yeah, definitely. And they're going to come at us hard because they're going to want to send a message that they're not going to lie down and let us tickle their bellies. And I think we just have to go out there and basically hammer them. And I, to be quite honest with you, that is maybe the game where you add Denny Kearney in there to get that sort of edge. They don't really know what to expect from him. And you go out there, you shock him with his size, his speed, and you just use that to your advantage. And that's what we need to do. We need to be fast. We need to be physical. We can't take them lightly. And we need to play. We're most successful when we play direct. We play a direct north game. We put pucks on net. We get pucks deep. And that's where we get success. And if we do that, we'd be successful this weekend.
Yeah. Yes, hopefully. Also that Belfast are going to be missing, totally forgot his name, Foster.
Alex Sean? Foster.
Alex Foster is out injured for the weekend, it appears. So I think they're running a spare import in the shape of Jeff Mason. So I'd imagine that there'll still be a full strength Belfast lineup. On Friday, but obviously a big miss there, a guy brought in to do some big things from this season.
Yeah, interesting to see. I don't know whether Dops have come out with what they are reviewing this week, so I don't know if anything interesting went on in their games, even in our games, so, you know, there's no guarantee that we'll be full strength at all, so we'll wait and see what Dops Roulette give us this week.
Yes, let's do that. But after the doubleheader, as we mentioned, the Devils finally play that final game in hand that we've got over Belfast, which will bring us a level on games played. And by the end of the following night, ourselves, Sheffield and Belfast will all be on the same games played. So it'll be a straight run into the end. But back to Nottingham again, and we're playing Nottingham thick and fast at the moment. As I said, we've found a way to beat them the last three times we've played them. Four out of four asking too much, do you think, Sean?
Maybe just a little bit, but we're in for a tough weekend, and I think that is going to play a major part, and I think where the spare player is going to really come in handy for us. But yeah, why not? Let's go and do it again. Why not?
Yeah, you know, they'll have had their cup final, but as we said, we should play in tomorrow night as we're recording. So hope that, you know, they'll either maybe down or just got that one eye on, you know, their big chance for silverware in the Challenge Cup final, if that's what it is. And it'd be interesting for both teams to try and get a marker down ahead of that if it is Nottingham that we end up facing in the final. But yeah, you know, another big game, and you know, this, I think the importance of it to the Devils will be determined by what happens in Belfast, which, you know, self-explanatory obviously is, but take a 4-point weekend, you know, Devils can go into Nottingham with very little pressure. Take an 0-point weekend and that game suddenly becomes must-win, Aaron.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's always a difficult place to go anyway, so it's going to be, especially with only that one-day break, it's going to be one of the hardest games we're going to have to play, especially after playing second place team twice in a row. So I think this team, we can do it. And like Sean said, we've got that spirit in port with fresh legs to come in and jump into the play and hopefully do us wonders. So how we do it, I don't mind as long as we take the 6 points.
Not being greedy, but yeah, would be very nice.
I'm the person who's greedy, so.
That is everything for the week. Like you said, a really good week to be a Devils fan. So thank you to everyone for listening. If you are over in Belfast, apologies for the state that you might see any of the three of us in. Just blame the Irish Guinness or the Irish cider.
Or the whiskey.
Or potentially the Irish whiskey, depending on how it goes. Yes. So thank you for listening again. Make sure you send us your Rahmites, because the aforementioned Guinness and cider and whiskey will probably prevent us from tweeting to ask you for them. So send us your Rahmites after the Belfast games. And any also, thoughts?
Just a quick one. Red Army Roundup play-by-player will be back from Nottingham for the Tuesday game, where yours truly will be providing updates.
Of course it will, as the dark ages are still on in Nottingham. And there's no webcast. Tune in for that. Let us know all your thoughts, your Rahmites and everything. Once again, thank you for listening. But for now, that is your Red Army Roundup.